Good morning, my friends. The Lord, the faithful and great God, the true God, the living God, has blessed us once again, my friends, as we look to the Bible this Lord's Day morning, and as we remember that God, the God of time, the creator of all time, has given us another day and another new year in which His great graces and blessings, His great nature and works will be revealed. The scripture says that the daytime and the nighttime reveal that God is, and that God has certain attributes and characteristics that He is working in the creation. Praise His name now and forever. My friends, my hope this morning is to encourage you from the Bible about the glorious truth that Christ, the sovereign of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the ruler of God's creation, is also called the Prince of Peace, and that Christ is working to bring peace to this troubled world, and that ultimately Christ will bring a perfect and eternal peace to the creation. Praise His name. We are troubled by many things in this fallen world. We live in a great time of conflict and persecution. There are many wars today. There is much killing. There is terroristic activity. And yet, in the midst of this great struggle in which we find ourselves in our generation, the glorious truth remains that Christ, the Prince of Peace, is the God who is bringing peace to individuals and to churches and to nations and to regions in the world. And so I hope that the Word of God will be of great encouragement to you today in your personal struggle and conflicts, and that you will be encouraged as I am. My friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the grace that you give us. Thank you for peace. Thank you that you change men's hearts and that you bring us to be at peace with you, that the enmity that we had before conversion has been ended, and that true reigning spiritual peace with you and with others is now the real characteristic of our lives as Christians. Thank you, Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Spirit of Peace, that you are bringing peace to individuals and to churches and to nations, to regions throughout this great world. And we pray that you will continue this great work until it is that you come and glorify your church and usher in the kingdom of eternal peace and glory and grace and the love of God. How blessed we shall be then, Lord, and how blessed we are today to know that your peace reigns in our hearts, a peace which is beyond understanding in the midst of the tribulation that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, let's begin this morning in Psalm 47 in verses 7 through 11. I want to share a lot of scripture with you today because these verses speak so powerfully to our hearts about this truth that Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Sovereign of the nations, is bringing peace and will bring peace and will ultimately bring eternal peace and unending peace when He glorifies the church and when He glorifies the creation. And so beginning in Psalm 47, we see in verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." Amen. And so these verses communicate the truth very clearly, that God is the sovereign over the nations, and that God in His sovereign control and in His divine appointment of all that exists in the creation has control, ultimate control, over the shields of the earth. These, the text says, belong to God. And he reigns on his holy throne over the people and over the princes of the people. And so the true and living God, here called the God of Abraham, is greatly exalted to rule over the nations and to rule over the shields of the earth. Again, a reference to a device and instruments of war. The shield was a means of protection in warfare. And so the shields of the earth belong to God. In other words, conflicts are in God's control. War is under his divine rule. Praise the Lord. And we are encouraged by the words of the hymn, O come, Emmanuel, in verse 3. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. And indeed he has come. Emmanuel, Christ Jesus, God with us, has come, and he has freed us from a spiritual warfare and bondage and captivity. In a sense, we were taken as prisoners of war. He has freed us from Satan's rule. And Satan rules in a miserable, hellish kingdom. Satan suffers the judgment of God, and his subjects suffer the great judgment and wrath of God also. But we rejoice because Jesus, Emmanuel, has come to us. My friends, Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Emmanuel, who has come to us, God in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, is called the Prince of Peace. His name is Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. And he has brought peace to the world. Peace comes from the God of peace. Christ Jesus, the source, the God of peace, has brought his great and mysterious peace to the planet. And by his Spirit, he brings this peace, which surpasses our ability to understand, a spiritual peace, into the hearts of men, into the hearts of all men who believe in him. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, let us look at other verses today which encourage us that the Prince of Peace has come, and that the Prince of Peace will surely bring peace to us. The hope of the world today, the desire of the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. He is the sovereign. He is the ruler of all creation. And he will ultimately and finally end war. God the sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, promises to bring peace to the nations. And so we can trust him and trust his great promise that this world will not be engulfed and overcome by war, because Christ is building his church, the bastion of peace, if you will. Christ's peace must endure as his church will endure until the end, until glorification. The gates of hell, that is the power of Satan and death and hell, shall not prevail against Christ's church. And so Christ's peace will be known in the world until the end. And how blessed are we to have trusted Christ and repented of our sins, to have received this peace and to enjoy this peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that the Holy Spirit produces as fruit in our hearts. Christ the King has brought his kingdom of peace. It has begun. And though we are troubled by the evil In fact, the horror of the evil in the world, by the senseless killings, by the anger and rage of Satan, who then brings godless men to commit the worst of sins, mass killings, terrorist activity, war on a massive scale, immense human suffering. There are millions of people displaced on the planet today because of terrorist activity, murder and killing and war. And these millions of refugees, if you will, live a very difficult life. And so they suffer greatly. This suffering, bereavement, loss of loved ones, horrific killing. We see the news. We look at the world events on our computers, and we are oftentimes shocked at man's brutality, at the killing, the vast bloodshed, the immense horror of war that we are experiencing in our generation. But nevertheless, my friends, let us be encouraged today that by the marvelous grace of God, we overcome even these great evils, these great horrors, and we are kept in Christ's perfect peace because our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true and living God, and His kingdom of peace has come. It has begun, and it is present in this world. Praise God. And so there is conflict with evil today because, at least partly because, the gospel is preached to the nations. War will continue until the end, the Lord Jesus tells us. There will be wars and rumors of wars in Matthew chapter 24. But this does not mean that Christ's peace is not an enduring, real, and universal peace. It will be finally realized. It will be a universal peace. In fact, the true peace of God is coming, and it is now experienced. It shall reign universally, finally, and ultimately. And so, though wars will continue to the end, we have hope that in His sovereign rule of all things, the Prince of Peace may lessen, even in our generation, even today, the conflicts and war and fighting. And our ultimate hope is that wars will cease. And my friends, that there is a personal and a corporate and national peace. There is a regional peace that can be experienced because of the marvelous grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find, my friends, in Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 4, a promise of this wonderful peace that Jesus has brought and is bringing and will bring. It says there, "He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Praise God. A great promise that peace is coming. The very instruments of war shall be fashioned into instruments of peace, you see. And so we must understand this truth in this respect, and that is that true spiritual peace comes to us from Jesus by His gospel. And we begin to experience that peace personally when we are born again, when we come to Christ. And so then we become, as the children of God, as those saved by Jesus, peacemakers. We are at peace with God. This is the fundamental peace that we enjoy as believers. We are no longer at war with God because of our sin, but all of our sin is forgiven. There is not one sin imputed to us because we have trusted Christ and repented. We are born again. And so because our sin is overcome by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His blood to bring us to be at peace with God, we enjoy this true and substantial, real spiritual peace with God. And as individuals are saved and come into the church, we find that the church becomes the holy community of peace, where the peace of Christ is enjoyed individually by its members and together corporately in this spiritual community. The church throughout the world is called a holy nation, a reference to the spiritual peace that those who are born again enjoy with each other everywhere on the planet. Our brothers and sisters in India and communist China and in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Sudan, in Somalia, in Nigeria, in Canada, in Brazil, all enjoy the same spiritual peace that we enjoy in our communion and fellowship. We are all joined to Christ by the same Spirit. There is one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit, one God and Father of all who is over all. Amen. And so these individuals throughout the world are gathered into the church, really communities of peace, who work for peace, who fight against oppression and injustice and sin and evil spiritually. We do not take up arms to extend the kingdom of Christ. No, this is a spiritual kingdom that we fight in a spiritual sense. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood. We are carnal, that is, we live in bodies, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war carnally, the scripture says. But we overcome spiritual strongholds, we overcome spiritually by the blood of Christ. That is, because of our faith, we walk in holiness. Our minds and hearts are filled with the word of peace and the spirit of peace. And so we are really made to be peacemakers in a world that is warring with God and that wars and kills. That is, many people are lost due to actual war and conflict and murder. Though the word of the Lord is that we are not to commit murder, there is much murder on the planet. The Prince of Peace controls all of this, renders his peace, and is building his universal church, this huge nation of peace, if you will. And this nation of peace is an ever-growing body, an ever-growing entity. Praise the Lord. Psalm 46:9 says, "He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire." Notice the present case in these words. That is, this is written in the present case. God is now making wars to cease to the end of the earth, throughout the earth. God is breaking the bow and cutting the spear. In his providential rule, Christ is rendering mercy and grace and salvation and peace to the peoples. And it is God who controls the chariot. It is here that Christ burns the chariot in the fire. In other words, he stops war. Praise God. Psalm 72 in verses 3 and 7, the word of God declares, "The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. In his days, the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more." And so we must understand this and the other verses I'm sharing with you in this respect, my friends. Christ has come, the Prince of Peace. Remember that he brought peace to men's souls. He brought healing. He brought freedom from oppression. He brought salvation. He conquered the strong man who came to destroy. He gives life. He rules in this spiritual kingdom of peace now And that work of Christ will continue until the end of the world, when he will finally and ultimately bring this abundance of peace. And so we must understand these prophecies in this respect. There is the present aspect, there is a future aspect, and there is the ultimate aspect in the fulfillment of the promise of God to bring peace to individuals and to the peoples of the planet, ultimately to bring the gospel to all peoples. Hosea 2:18 says this, "In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely." And this speaks of the covenant of peace, or if you will, the covenant of grace that God has made so that men are brought to be at peace with God and with each other, and even with the animals, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the creeping things of the earth. And in this all-comprehensive covenant of grace, which is characterized by peace, bow and sword of battle, God declares he will shatter from the earth so that men in his covenant of grace will lie down safely. Praise God. It says, my friends, that he will subdue men's pride and possessions, passions and lusts, which are the causes of all wars and contentions, the working and humility and meekness and self-denial and true and fervent love to all men, from whence peace necessarily follows, will happen. Matthew Poole has made that comment, and he's referring to the great peace of God, which is going to be experienced ultimately and finally. And this is the work of God today, my friends. Men's pride, passions, lust, the causes of war and contention are being subdued, being controlled. Praise God. We thank God for the peace that we enjoy today. And rather than pride and passion of lust and war and contention, God is bringing into men's hearts the blessings of humility and meekness, self-denial, true and fervent love to all men. And when this is found in a man's heart, peace must necessarily follow. We find, my friends, in Isaiah, in chapter 10, the wonderful truth that God's peace is coming. Verse 33, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the bough with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one." Here, the peace of God comes as God himself judges evil with his terrible judgment and power. And so we enjoy this reigning peace of Christ in great measure because God is faithful to judge sin, and he is faithful to judge men who make war. He judges them, cuts them down, and stops them. This is the work of the Lord of hosts, the armies of heaven, the mighty one. And so we rejoice that God himself is bringing peace, and God himself is judging the warlike peoples who have war in their hearts and restraining and stopping them. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's through verse 9. Praise God. Verse 10 says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Praise God. Jesus the King brings safety and rest to us, to his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, we want to take a look lastly at verses in Zechariah. Wonderful verses that tell us about the coming peace, about the peace that we enjoy in Christ now. And let me just say quickly this morning, excuse me, at this point, that we must know that there is going to be war and killing. There will be murder. There will be tribulation in the world because of men's sins until the end. But Jesus tells us that though there will be trouble, and perhaps increasingly greater trouble, that our love must not grow cold. That is, we must draw close to God, love him fervently, and obey him, and love our neighbor fervently, and fulfill our ministry as peacemakers in the earth. Again, we ultimately look to the final fulfillment of God's promises, and that is when he makes wars to end completely, when Jesus returns and brings in the universal kingdom of Christ, which will reign forever. He, the Prince of Peace. And so, my friends, take hope today and be encouraged that though there is trouble, though you are struggling personally with much trouble and conflict, even perhaps with the horrible aspect of having lost a loved one recently, perhaps even in murder, though you have been affected by the war, certainly in our region and in Africa, though you have been personally affected even by the horror of terrorist activity, a real act of hatred and warfare, nevertheless, the kingdom of Christ prevails, and we worship him, the Prince of Peace, God over all. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Jesus has come. Praise God. Our King has come. He has salvation, and his peace and dominion reigns over the entire earth. Everywhere, Jesus rules, and he stops evil. He judges war. He judges warlike hearts. And he brings peace to all who will receive it. And so, my friends, let us rejoice. Our God, the Prince of Peace, reigns. He reigns. He reigns now and forevermore. His dominion is to the farthest reaches of the earth. And he is called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Father, we thank you. Bring peace to our hearts. Encourage us and strengthen us in these difficult days. And Lord, always by your gracious, loving Spirit, fan the fire of love in our hearts, that our love will not grow cold, but that we will stand lovingly and be caught in your peace, kept, protected in your marvelous peace, which surpasses all understanding. Lord, your peace reigns because you reign over all spirits, over all people, over all kingdoms and nations. You alone are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and no one can resist your kingdom's coming. We cry out, O God, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, Prince of Peace, on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, Lord, by your mighty power, that you will restrain the warlike hearts of men about us. And Lord, that you will bring peace to them and peace to the peoples of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may God bless you.